because I love the reflection part. We're starting a new series for the month of February called Heart Matters. Everything flows out of the heart. The Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The issues of life flow out of the heart. All of the issues, the things that we struggle with, come from our heart. The Bible says the heart is deceptive of all things too. And so we need his presence, we need his healing as well. And so we're going to talk today that love starts with the heart. And I'm going to tell you that my prayer has been, and even as we prayed this morning, that we would all come with an openness to do a heart check. So let me pray as we get into the word today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the written word that's living and active, that helps us know how to live and love and lead and to know you, who you are. God, I ask for the next few moments that you would open our ears, open our hearts. God, that you would speak to us. God, show us, examine our hearts today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll do the work that only you can do to challenge us, to transform us, to change us into more of your image. God, our desire is to have a heart that represents you, that has a heart that beats like you. But God, we know so often our hearts are full of many other things that don't represent you. And so, Father, we pray your grace, we pray your truth, and we pray healing as we talk today in your precious name. Amen. This Wednesday, this last Wednesday, we had our midweek, and it's a beautiful time to come together. We have some acoustic worship, and then we break off into different groups. And the group that I was leading, we're doing a series on discovering your shape, like how God has designed you. And we were talking about the heart, which is so incredible as well. And one of the things that I didn't know, and even Cheryl confirmed, is that, and you may not know this, but you know how we all have individual fingerprints? Like, nobody has the same fingerprints, as well as our voice print. Like, every single one of us, our voice is specific to who we are. Well, our heart beats specifically individual. Nobody has the same heartbeat, which I thought that was just such a beautiful thing. Again, going back to the design of how God has made us and created us, even down to our heartbeat, is so specific to who we are and how God has made us. The heart is a big deal. Scripture talks about it a ton, and we'll get into that. But here we are in February, right? It's the month of relationships. Everywhere you look, potentially, if you're at the mall or the stores, right? What do you see, right? Flowers and chocolate and all the things that you should be buying, you know, if you're dating or married or whatever. And I remember being single, all the years I was single, I was always like, oh, this was never the month that I enjoyed, you know, in those spaces where you're still waiting. It was like, oh, the month of love, you know. So sometimes that can be challenging. You know, and if you're not careful, our social media, right, it can convince you that everyone else has perfect relationships, right? Because again, nobody's posting the disagreement that you had on the way to dinner and taking a picture and hashtagging, we did not communicate well tonight. Like, nobody's posting that stuff, right? It's always like the pretty pictures and like, oh, everything's fine and great. And we all know, right? Social media is a highlight reel of all the best things, right? The truth is, real relationships are not built by perfect people. Huh. Praise the Lord, right? Because I'm not perfect. They're built, though, by transformed hearts. And we all need that transformation. So that's what this series is about the next couple of weeks. All right? Because healthy relationships don't start with finding the right person. I mean, that is important. But healthy relationships start with becoming the right person through Christ. I'm going to say that again. Healthy relationships start with becoming the right person through Christ. It's not about there. It all comes back to here. Come back to the mirror and come back to our own heart. Amen? So we're going to look at a few scriptures. Actually, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, but we're going to kind of go through a few of them really quickly. So my daughter's going to help with the media. We're going to look through them pretty quickly. So Psalm 139:1 says this, "O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me." All right, so here's the thing. You might try to fool the world. You might show up to your job or to even church, and you got a big old smile, and you're like, oh, yeah, everything's great. God knows your heart, right? So let's not try to fool the world. Just come be authentic, you know, let God work in your life, right? Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Psalm 26:2, "Put me," this is a tough one. I don't know how you feel about this, but "put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart." Have you ever prayed that prayer? I have not. I mean, I've done some of that, but not the "put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me." But that's how serious our heart is. It matters. It matters what's going on in our heart. Psalms 86:11, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth." Your truth, his truth, the scripture truth, not how we want to rewrite truth or our own version of truth, right? His truth. "Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you." One of the best ways that we can worship Jesus is not by singing songs, although that is part of it. One of the greatest ways we can worship Jesus is with a pure heart that honors him, that's humble and surrendered and just is like, God, I don't have the answers and I need you. I need you to do a work on my heart. Psalms 51:10, this one's familiar, right? "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me." Create in me a clean heart, O God. I think we can all say that. That's our heart's prayer, right? God, do a work in me today, right now. God, create in me a new heart. The word heart is translated, depending on the translation of the Bible, 720 to 900 times, depending on the translation. God is seriously wanting us to take a look at a reality check, a heart check, to what's going on inside of us. Before we talk about who you love, we have to talk about how you love, and it starts with the heart. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, very, again, familiar scripture verse. We're going to look at verses 20 through 23. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And of course, you know, beautiful scriptures. I love this whole chapter. I mean, Proverbs in general is just beautiful because it's just full of wisdom. Again, if you lack wisdom, there are lots of situations I'm dealing with right now. I don't have all the answers. So the Bible says if you lack wisdom, right, we ask. Or we go to scripture, and there's a whole lot of wisdom on how to deal with situations and with people right here. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Think about that for a minute. Wherever your life is right now, your heart got you there. And that's a good thing or that's a bad thing. But the bottom line is, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. We see it all over the news. We see the craziness. Life and death are in the power of our words. Words matter. What you say matters. What you say to yourself matters, right? We need to be speaking life over ourselves and our situations. We need to be speaking life over what's going on in the world as we pray, right? And we believe God to do miracles in us and through us. None of us can fix all the stuff that's broken in the world, right? We understand that. Jesus is the only one that's going to do that. But I can tell you this, we certainly can do some work here, right? We can get our hearts good so that we can go out in the world and at least in our own little small space, make a difference, right? Absolutely. I love in this scripture, it gives some very strong details like this. Pay attention. Scripture's saying, listen. Don't lose sight. Words bring life and healing. Guard your heart. You see all these directives giving us wisdom on what to do? Avoid perverse talk. Stay away from wisdom. May we take that wisdom and may we allow it to go into our heart. May the scripture transform us. The Bible treats the heart like a control center, all right? Your decisions flow from it. Your reactions come out of it. Your relationships reveal what's in it. If you don't deal with your heart, you'll keep repeating the same patterns. It's just the way it is. You might have a new relationship. You're going to have the same issue if you don't deal with your heart. You might have a new season. You don't deal with your heart, same wounds. Because transformation doesn't happen by location. It happens by surrender. Happens by humility. Here's a quick illustration. Imagine your life is a car on a road trip, all right? So everybody pick whatever car you want, all right? I'm going to go with a white Jeep because I like the beach life. So that would be my car of choice. So imagine your car, your life is a car on a road trip. Your talents are the engine. Your choices are the pedals. Your words are the horn. But your heart is the steering wheel, okay? You have a powerful engine and great fuel, but if the steering wheel is broken or pointed the wrong way, you're still going to head for the ditch, okay? You can have all the other great things figured out, but if your steering wheel isn't heading in the right direction, you're going to head for the ditch. Your heart decides where your life turns, what you chase, how you treat people, whether you drift towards love or bitterness. Our heart. Listen to this. You don't accidentally end up somewhere, good or bad. Your heart quietly steers you there. I've had to ask the Lord to do a lot of work on my heart through the years. Lots of work. Anger, bitterness, resentment, all the years ago. Life still happens. Ministry happens. Hurt happens. Life continues to happen. And so we have to deal with our hearts. Because if we don't, the bitterness and the anger, it grows. And it can change you. It can change you into somebody that you don't recognize. Because all of a sudden, you're hurt and you're bleeding out on everyone else. God doesn't want that. He wants us to get healed. He wants us to get in his presence so that he can transform our hearts. Amen? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 22. You guys doing all right? Okay. It's good stuff. Hard stuff, but good stuff. Matthew 22, 37 and 39. Talking about the most important commandment, right? Scripture, it says, Jesus replied to them, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's hard to do if your heart's full of everything but him, full of the world, full of darkness, right? That's hard to love the Lord with all your heart when you don't even want him to know what's in your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you have hatred towards yourself, if you're angry at yourself, it's hard to do that. Jesus doesn't start with teaching relationship techniques. He starts with heart alignment. Today, he wants to align your heart with him, with his word, with his presence. Because love that's rooted in anything else besides God will eventually become conditional, it will become controlling, and it will be exhausting, period. Love that's not rooted in God will eventually become conditional, controlling, or exhausting. And nobody wants to be in that. Nobody wants to be around that, right? We need help. Our hearts need a heart check today. As Spirit-filled believers, we don't just believe in acting better, right? We believe in inner transformation. Just like the illustration, if I had a cup up here that was dirty, full of dirt, and I'm trying to pour into a clean glass, you can't pour water from a dirty cup and expect it not to have dirt in it, right? Just like you can't love well from a wounded heart. It's not possible. You got to get your heart fixed and your heart healed so that we can love well, love ourselves well, love the world well, love each other well. Amen. The beautiful part about Jesus, though, is in the midst of all this, there's grace for the messy parts of life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? He knows us. He sees us. He's our Father up in heaven. I'm sure there are times where he just looks down and he's like, oh, bless their hearts. They still haven't learned. They're still going around that same mountain. He's a good God, though, and he has patience with us, and his grace is available if we just say, come and do the work. Or, I'm sorry. Sorry for having that bad attitude. I'm sorry for spouting off at my spouse. God, I'm sorry. Heal my heart. Forgive me, right? When we come with that place of surrender, he comes and he meets us. So there's grace. If you've had a hard heart and a bitter heart, God can meet you today. He can heal that today. That can change today. Amen. Romans 5:8 says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. He loved us enough to send Jesus while we were still dead in our sin. He poured out that grace and poured out that love for us. God didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. Grace stepped into the mess. Will you let grace step into your mess today? Grace doesn't excuse the mess, right? But it enters it to redeem it. Our God is a redeeming God. He changes things. He changes us. If love starts with the heart, then we have to ask an honest question. What does God do with a broken one, right? What does he do with a broken heart? Because some of us don't just have bad habits. We have wounded places, broken parts of our heart, hardened places that we've walled up. We're not letting anybody anywhere near. We're not letting Jesus, we're not letting anything get to that. Places we've learned to protect. Turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36 is a beautiful passage about the prophet dealing with Israel. God used him to speak truth, deal with some situations and issues, but there's a beautiful portion of that we're going to focus on. Ezekiel is speaking in chapter 36 to Israel at one of their lowest points in history. I feel like that fits us as a culture, right? They're not in exile because they had a rough year. They're there because of their long-term rebellion. They just kept not honoring Christ. They didn't just break the rules that God had set. They broke relationship with him. That's why it was such a big deal. God warned them, gave them many options to turn back, put away their idols, to care for one another, to guard their hearts. But instead, again, like Israel has done so many times, and like we do so often, leaders fail, families get fractured, Worship becomes routine. We just, okay, I'm going to go with this in the next song. We have one more song. Okay, you know. And God is pushed off to the side, right? This is what's happening in Ezekiel 36. Eventually, Babylon came and Jerusalem fell and the temple was destroyed. God's presence, where he was at, destroyed. And now the people of Israel, they're displaced. They're ashamed. They're spiritually numb. It describes, I think, a lot of where we're at in the world. And they're asking the same question I think some of us ask. Have I gone too far this time? Have I moved too far away from your presence? Have I dishonored your name too much? Obviously, the answer is no, right? God's arms are always open and ready to receive us, but there are consequences for our decisions and our heart and what happens in life. There are consequences that we see. God revealed his heart. Here's what's powerful, and we're going to look at the scriptures here in a minute. God doesn't respond by saying, well, you deserve this, so go figure it out. I'm so glad that he's not that kind of father that says, well, you did this and you deserve this, so go figure it out. No, he says, it's not for your sake, but it's for my holy name. In other words, Israel didn't just suffer consequences, they misrepresented God. I think one of the greatest things we've lost in the church is the fear of God. One day we will all stand before him and give an account for how we have lived and we have loved and served him. The fear of God will keep you on a holy path. The fear of God will keep you on your face in humility. The fear of God will keep you saying, Lord, check my heart multiple times during the day. Because sin is just everywhere. And I'm not talking about being afraid of God. The fear of God I'm talking about is the reverence for who he is and who we are and are not. Jesus, help us to have more of the fear of God in our lives. So God steps into the story, not because Israel earned it, but because his grace defends God's reputation. That's good news for us. He restores us because his name is attached to it. He says, I will give you a new heart. So turn with me to Ezekiel 36. We're going to look at just a couple verses, 26 and 27. Prophet of Ezekiel is saying, I will give you, this is the vision from God, I will give you a new heart and I will pour a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. That is beautiful, his promise. To not only to Israel, but to us today. I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a tender, responsive heart. This promise wasn't just for those that got it right. It was for the people who failed miserably and came back to him. All right? God is speaking to Israel during exile. They had made so many mistakes. They repeatedly broke covenant with him. When you read the Old Testament, I know we are Israel, but it's just like, oh my goodness, so many times God over and over gave grace. He would judge, of course, there would be consequences for sin, yes, but then he would come again and redeem. That's just who he is, right? They chased idols. They hardened themselves against God. They were morally bankrupt. And here, in the midst of all of that, God does not say to them, well, try harder. He doesn't say, try harder. Our world says, try harder. Do, be better, right? He doesn't say, try harder. He says, I will. All right, we're going to look at some of those I wills. God's promise to us says, I will. The first one is this, I will give you a new heart. God doesn't patch what failed, he replaces it. That's not behavior management. This is salvation and sanctification for today. Amen? He's not just patch. He's not wanting to patch it. He wants to give you a new heart. Amen? In Hebrews, the word heart is L-E-V. It's not just emotions. It's the control center. It's the will, the intellect, the desires, and the conscience. All right? There's so much more to that, to our heart. A new heart doesn't mean a repaired version of the old one. It's replacement. Isn't that beautiful? God isn't offering a spiritual self-improvement plan. He's promising inner recreation. Number two, he says, I will remove the stony heart. I will. He's not saying try harder. He says, I will remove the stony heart. A heart of stone is unresponsive. Unfeeling, immovable. Stone doesn't bend, right? It doesn't listen. It doesn't repent. This isn't just stubbornness, it's spiritual numbness. Some of you here today, you might be dealing with a stony heart. The beautiful news is, though, that God says, I'll remove that from you if you allow him. In Ezekiel's day, stone meant unresponsive, unteachable, and resistant. Stone doesn't feel, it doesn't bend, and some of us didn't harden our hearts because we were rebellious. We hardened them because we've been hurt. Yeah, I will tell you a lot of my hardness in my lifetime where I've had to pray often, God, give me a heart of flesh, has come because of hurt, because of people. Because of words that have been said and spoken, right? And when you don't deal with it, then your heart becomes angry and bitter. And the longer you hold on to that, your heart gets harder and harder and harder, and Jesus gets farther and farther away because you're full of everything but him. The third I will that God promises us out of the scripture, he says, I will give you a tender and responsive heart. That's available today, a tender and responsive heart. You see, tender isn't being weak. Responsive isn't reckless. It's alive again, beating again. You know that video when it started out, you could hear the heartbeat? God wants your heart to beat again for him, for the things that God has planned for you. He wants to give you a heart of flesh. That doesn't mean sinful flesh. It means alive and soft and sensitive. He wants to give you a heart that feels conviction, that responds to correction, that is capable of love and loyalty. That's what he wants to give you, a tender, responsive heart. The fourth I will that he promises says, I will put my spirit within you. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Israel's problem wasn't what was going on with Babylon. It was what Babylon revealed in their hearts. It's kind of like today. It's not necessarily what's going on in the world, but what's going on in the world, what is that revealing about what's going on in your heart, right? Some of us don't need God to change our situation. We need him to change what we carry into that situation. That's why, again, new relationships don't heal old wounds. New seasons don't erase old pain. God says, I don't just want to move you, but I want to transform you from the inside out to be more like him, to have a heart that beats like him. Less of us and more of him. Because here's the reality, you guys. And I've had to face this and look in the mirror at this before. What you don't heal, you will bleed on others. Family, friends, relationships, generations. The demons that you don't face, your kids will have to. The things you don't heal in your life, you'll pass down to your kids to have to deal with them. Unhealed hearts overreact, they misinterpret, and they sabotage good things. Heart matters. Our hearts matter. It affects every relationship. And again, we're all in need of a Savior, and we're all in need of grace in this. None of us have got it figured out because we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. This week alone, you could have been hurt and bombarded by relationships in your life. You could be carrying right now today anger and resentment just from something this week because it just happens over and over again. That's why it's so important that we're checking our hearts and we're bringing those to the Lord so he can heal us and transform our hearts. A broken thermostat doesn't set the climate. It reacts to it. God wants to transform your heart so you stop reacting and start responding by the Spirit, right? And this shows up in our real life, how you speak when you're tired, how you respond when you're corrected, how you handle conflict at home. All of it comes out. You can only try to manage it so long, but eventually, who you are, which is your heart and your soul, will seep out, right? What we don't heal, we bleed onto others. So today is an opportunity for a heart check. Today is an opportunity for some healing for your heart, potentially. I don't know exactly where your heart is at, but God does. He's seen you the whole time. Your whole life, he's watched. God is not asking for perfect relationships, but he's asking for surrendered hearts. When God has your heart, your relationships begin to reflect Christ. And let me say that again. When God has your heart, your relationships begin to reflect Christ. Not instantly, but over time, and they increasingly get healthy. You see, some of us, though, we've been asking God to fix the people around us. But God is saying today, let me start with you. Let me start with you, with me. Today might be that moment for you. And I do believe that God is speaking. I do believe you're here today, whether you're online or whether you're in this room. You're here today because heart matters, and you need to do a heart check. And his forgiveness is here. His healing is here. Some of those things you've been carrying around for a long time, the anger, the bitterness, it's time to give it to Jesus. It's time to allow him to heal you so that you can be different, so that your heart can be a heart of flesh again, that it can be representative of Jesus's heart to the world. I don't know about you, but I don't want to bleed on people. I don't want to go out in the world and just because I got my own stuff, be bleeding on people. I want to be able to bring hope. I want to be able to bring healing to people. And the only way that happens is if I'm being healed, right? If I'm walking in that hope and that victory, that's the only way. Hannah, you can go ahead and begin playing that song. Today, I'm not going to have the worship team come up as we respond to the Lord today. We're going to play a song. It's an older song, but the message is beautiful. It says, Lord, give me a new heart. Lord, I give you my heart. That's the prayer for today. Lord, I give you my heart. With your eyes closed in this room, in this moment, I want to give you an opportunity today, just where you're at, to respond to the Lord. And I want to be able to pray for you. The first thing I'm going to ask for is, some of you here in this room, you need healing. Your heart needs healed. It might be past relationships. It might be things that have been said to you or done to you, but today you recognize the brokenness in your heart. You recognize the areas that aren't healed, and today you need Jesus to heal that. And I want to be able to pray for you today. And so if that's you this morning and you recognize that, I need healing in my heart, can you just put your hand up so I can pray for you today? Amen. Hands are going up all over the place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'll pray for that in a minute. The next one is this. Some of you here today, you recognize that you need forgiveness. You've been doing things your own way. Your heart has been hard. And you need to surrender to Jesus today. You need to invite him into your life to be your Lord and Savior. You need to give him your heart and ask him to forgive you because you've been doing it your own way. So with eyes closed around this room, just put your hand up if that's you. You need to surrender your heart and you need forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you guys for being honest. God sees every response, and he's here, and his presence is here. The last thing I want to do is pray for anybody here that just needs a renewal of love and grace in your marriage. You're here today, and that's the struggle, and you need a renewal of that love and grace. I want to be able to pray for you today as well. I know that's brave. I know that's hard. But people aren't looking, they're praying. If that's you here today, put your hand up so I can see that. Amen, I see that hand. Jesus sees that hand. Absolutely, he loves your marriage. He wants healing in marriages. He doesn't want brokenness. Thank you, amen. God sees it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me pray for us today in this moment. Father, I thank you, God, just for your presence. Thank you for your word. God, thank you that you care about our hearts. God, thank you for this moment to even just stop as we looked at the word and to do a heart check in our own lives. God, thanks for putting a mirror up to each of us. God, I pray right now for those that raise their hand for healing. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you are touching their heart. You're bringing Holy Spirit just healing over those places. Over the memories, over the actions that were done to them, over the words that have been spoken over them. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, healing over their heart, their soul, and their mind. And God, we thank you for that healing, Jesus. God, I pray you start a new work in them today. God, as they give you their heart, God, that you will heal them from the inside out. Father, I pray for those that raise their hands because they want to surrender their heart to you today. They need that forgiveness. God, they've been doing it on their own and their heart has been hard and stony. And God, today they're surrendering that to you. Father, I pray right now you meet them right now where they're sitting, where they're at. With grace, with mercy. God, we thank you for that. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And God, we pray for the marriages in the room. Father, those that raise their hand, they recognize, I need a renewal of love. I need a renewal of grace in my marriage. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will just cover marriages. God, where there has been division, God, bring just honest repentance. God, I pray, soften hearts. God, I pray forgiveness to flow freely. God, that they will repent and do the things they did at first. God, we know and love you. And God, we recognize that you are the answer. You are the healing salve on all of these things. And so we bring these to you today, recognizing, God, you're the one to transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit, giving us a new heart, a heart of flesh. We love you, Jesus, so much. God, we thank you for your presence here today. Thank you, Jesus. So here's how we're going to close. You guys would stand to your feet. And the prayer team that's helping us today, you would come forward. If you have a specific prayer need today, you need healing. Maybe it is more of your heart. Maybe it is physical. Maybe you have a request. You're standing in the gap for a loved one that needs to know Jesus. Whatever that is, this space here in the sanctuary will become a place of prayer. I ask as you dismiss, fellowship in the hallway, enjoy coffee and talking out there. But this atmosphere is a place to meet Jesus, a place to pray for one another. The Bible says, pray for one another and be healed, right? Confess our sins, pray for one another. We anoint one another. We pray a prayer of healing and we trust God for the results. Amen. So we love you here at Rockside Church. We thank you for being here. God's doing a work. Don't leave. You need to spend time at the altar, talk to somebody, pray with somebody, absolutely. But come forward if you have a need today. Amen. Let me say one more prayer before we dismiss. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for meeting us. God, thank you for what you're doing in this church and through this church. God, we know we're in a transition season. We're in a rebuilding season. And God, in that process, work on our hearts. Change us to become more like you as we continue to want to reach the community, reach others for Christ. God, do that in us today. God, I pray blessings as we leave from this place, we go into our mission field. God, use us, anoint us afresh this week as we interact with the world. God, may we be peace builders, hope bringers. God, may we bring the love of Jesus to a world that needs you. We love you, Jesus, so much. In your precious name, amen. Amen. Thank you.